Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howell, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the founder and CEO of Church Answers.
Okay, pre-roll.
Uh-huh.
You were excited about this one.
I am.
But then you went right into the intro.
Yeah.
You didn't tell me why you're excited. So now you got to tell me and our listening audience why you're excited about top seven major facility mistakes of the past 20 years. I know you're excited about each Rainer on Leadership episode.
Absolutely.
But you expressed it verbally and vivaciously this time, and I don't want to be just hearing it vicariously.
Because we have examples of these.
Okay.
And we can tell stories. And story time is always fun.
Yeah, it is kind of fun.
Story time with Tom. It's always fun.
Yeah.
It felt weird calling you Tom, by the way. Just throwing that out there.
JP and Tom, story time. This is going to really, really be good. I agree with you. And again, I hope it's not too condescending. It's just we've had fun seeing some of these things take place.
Yes. You know what I'm also excited about?
You're probably excited about Midwestern Seminary.
I am. They're online degrees. They have 25 of them at the undergraduate and master's level. 25 degrees you can get in undergrad and graduate all online.
Wow.
That's a lot for a seminary.
But it shows their growth, too.
It does. They have everything from business to Bible, counseling to Christian education. You can prepare for your future at your own pace in your own location. And you can find out more at nbts.edu/online.
So what we will do with this one, Jonathan, is we'll not only tell stories, but we'll provide resources as well.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm looking at it. I don't think any of them are ours, but they're friends of ours.
Yes.
Some of these resources.
Absolutely.
So we'll be talking about, we won't just be talking about the issues and telling stories. We'll also be talking about ways you can address those issues.
Yeah. You and I have not gotten into the building and
you and I will not get
construction
into
space because we're not that people. Can I have people to do that kind of thing?
Yes.
We call handymen.
Can I take a detour for just a moment?
It's Rainer on Leadership.
I know that, but this is related to facilities, but not church facilities.
Okay.
One of my favorite places to vacation, I've said many times, is Cape San Blas, Florida. Mm-hmm. I did not know this. Right in front of Cape San Blas, which is, there's a bay there called St. Joe Bay.
Mm-hmm.
There's an island, and it's called Black Island. And it has, I believe, 24 homes on it. Bungalows is what they call it. And they were built to withstand hurricanes. And Michael came right, attacked the island straight on.
Mm-hmm.
No damage.
Really?
Yeah. And so I just happened to see Coastal Living Magazine did a video feature of it and said, look at these homes. They were built to withstand Hurricane 5 plus.
Wow.
And it's not only how sturdy the structure is, it is the ergonomics of it,
mm-hmm.
where the wind just went in and out of it. This little, I had no
idea. So it was completely planned to be able to withstand stuff.
Yes, exactly.
Huh. Where is it?
Well, if you go to the park, St. Joe Park,
uh-huh.
and you get on a, just take one of your little boats or what do you call it?
The only way you can get there is like a canoe or something or a boat or whatever?
Yeah, they have a trolley that goes out. Back
a ferry
and forth
type thing or whatever?
On the other side of the bay.
Okay.
I have never been there, but I saw this tiny island and maybe 20, 24, I don't remember, little bungalows on it that you can own or rent and nothing happened to them.
Wow. That's the importance of having qualified construction people work with you.
There is the segue that we will now begin talking about seven major facility mistakes.
All right. Point number one comes from Field of Dreams, apparently. If we build it, they will come. Too many churches have fallen into this trap.
You and I remember this story, and I'm not going to even give the state, but we were somewhere, and we looked on the wall, and there was a plan for the worship.
Yes,
new
I
worship
remember this.
Service. And we looked at it, and we went bug-eyed with this. I don't remember the exact numbers. I think the church was averaging 800 or something like that.
No, I think they were averaging about 300.
Okay, and then they had
a plan. They were wanting to build for 800.
Okay, or 1,000 or something like that. And why?
We both looked at one another like, why?
Well, and we went and asked the pastor and basically said, well, we figure if we build it, they'll come. If we have a big worship center, they'll come. No, they won't.
You'll just be in debt.
Yeah, you'll be in debt with a lot of space and few people.
Yeah.
I don't.
Because their current place seated like 350.
Yeah.
and they were running 300.
So all they got to do is go to a second service.
Add a service.
Yeah. Don't add millions of dollars of debt.
No.
And so you and I said something to that pastor, and he ended up not doing it.
Yes.
So
thankfully.
I'm grateful.
That was a very good move, because they would have hamstrung their ministry, because they would have been paying, they would have had too much money in envelope two and not enough money in envelope three.
Go to envelope3.com in case you wonder what he's saying about that. That's another resource we recommend.
But that's the point.
Help you understand budgeting.
Number one here.
Yeah. Another clear example out there is gyms and recreation centers. Mm-hmm. If we buy a gym and a recreation center, we're going to have a lot of young people come to our church.
That's number five. You're getting ahead of yourself.
Oh, gosh. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's still part of the if they build. Oh, yeah. I really previewed this one ahead of time. Sorry.
But you're right. And that's the thing. And it's not just with gyms. It's any kind of ancillary type facility. Oh, if we build a student center, they'll show up. You know, those kind of things. We just need to build something and people will come. That's not how things work. Number two, two big worship centers. Not T-W-O, but T-O-O. Big.
Okay.
Worship centers that are too big.
February the 18th, I wrote a blog post called Horizontal versus Vertical Growth. I haven't heard anyone articulate it this way, but it's the way you heard me articulate it in a
video. Yeah, it's in one of our Rainer Report videos.
Yeah, and so you kind of looked up and said, where did that come from? And I said, oh, no, it just came out. Vertical growth is where you add something to the existing service, room, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, make the room bigger.
Yeah.
Same number of services, bigger room.
Bigger room. Or you just pack people in, one or the other. That's vertical growth. Horizontal growth would be adding services, adding sites, adding venues. That would be same thing with groups. You can pack as many as you want to, or you can have other groups.
It's multi versus mega.
Oh,
so let me is the horizontal growth. Mega is the vertical growth.
Big worship centers are becoming a big problem because the boomer generation built those big worship centers. And that big may be 300 for one church. Mm-hmm. It may be 500. It may be 3,000, 4,000 for another church.
And this goes back to the previous example we gave.
Yes.
They would have built a worship center that was too big.
Yes.
For their church.
Yes.
At 800 when you're running 300.
Yep.
That would be a gigantic mistake.
Yes. And so what's the trend now? The trend now is design build firms are going in and saying, we're going to chop this down and build a bigger foyer, vestibule, narthex, common area, whatever else.
Yeah.
A common area. Mm-hmm. And we're going to reduce the size of the worship center because it's too vacuous. And if you begin filling it up, great. Go to other services. Mm-hmm. So big mistake is taking place. We see this all the time.
A lot cheaper to have an extra service than a much larger facility.
It's not only cheaper, it works better to give the choices that to the people in the community and the church.
And what we found is people, even in big churches, so say you're running 1,000, 1,500, don't build for 2,000, 2,500, because what we're seeing is people don't want that.
Nope.
They get too far away from the stage. They become less engaged. They want an intimate type room where it feels intimate, even though it can be 1,100 and still be intimate.
Yep.
But that's the kind of the sweet spot. When we talked to our friends over at Costco, Tim Songster.
Yes.
At churchdesign.com. When we talk to him, he tells us almost all the time that 1,200, 1,500 is about the max that he recommends people building, regardless of the size
of the church.
Because it becomes a different experience whenever you get that big of a room and you're that far away, you become less engaged and people just, they don't really, enjoy it as much. And it's not about enjoyability, but at the same time, like they lose the experience of worship because of that.
And you can see that when they're so distant.
Yeah.
Chuck Lawless, Sam and I are doing a consultation with the church. The worship center is not too big, but they have impediments to the view. Mm. And so, again, they're not able to engage. So that space is almost dead space.
That's no way to talk about the widows in the church. I'm kidding.
Oh, gosh.
Columns, I'm guessing you're talking about.
Yes.
That would be the impediments. Well, your church has columns in the sanctuary, doesn't it?
Not where the chairs are.
Oh, okay.
No, we're good.
Okay. Never mind. Good. All right. Number three, a lack of master planning.
You mentioned Tim Songster and Costco, who... Churchdesign.com is where you can find out about them. They're strong in a lot of ways, but one of the ways they're really strong, and I see this with some good church design build firms, is they say, let's talk the master plan before we start talking about this piece or this piece. And even if there's an existing facility, they say, let's replan for the future.
Yeah.
Let's take what we have and replan. Costco was talking to our building team, which I'm a part of at my church. And they were saying, before we build, let's see what it's going to be like 5 years, 10 years, 15 years out. So we got to see a proposed master plan that would be great for the future.
Yeah. And that's key in churches, because what I've seen in the past is they have an extra spot of land, or they have a little area that's available for them to build on. So they just build something there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then 5, 10 years later, they need something else. Maybe it's education space. Maybe it is a gym, whatever it may be. They build something there.
Yeah.
And there's no cohesion. We went to a church in Virginia. Late last year, we couldn't
find the entrance.
Well, we couldn't find the entrance, but at the same time, every building on campus looked differently.
Yeah,
and one of them had like a stone wall and everything. And we were just like, "What is going on here?"
Yeah,
and it was just a hodgepodge of buildings and everything that the church obviously did not have a master plan and had built it in different decades with current, you know, types of
think things. About Lifeway, old Lifeway.
Yes. It was terrible.
9 buildings on 10 city blocks. Had to be connected with pedestrian bridges going over streets just to get from one to another. Mm-hmm. It was, oh boy.
Every building had a different feel in it.
Oh, it was a different decor.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them were World War II barracks, and some of them were quintessential 80s, and that's it.
And just now, like Southern Baptist churches.
And now Amazon will be taking over that space, not the buildings.
It's well in the Southern Baptist Convention, World War II era, and stuck in the 80s.
It's stuck in, I like both of those.
I mean that in the nicest of ways, people. Don't send those cards and letters. All right, number 4, not planning on maintenance.
I know very few churches that do this. More are doing it. I mean, I'm grateful to Tim Cool and Cool Solutions Group. Is it coolsolutionsgroup.com?
Mm-hmm.
That's their specialty. And here's the thing about it is, if you wait to plan on maintenance, you will have deferred maintenance. And deferred maintenance is a lot more expensive than current maintenance. So you might as well just put it in your budget and plan for it. You might as well just say, okay, we've built this building, and so now we have to plan for maintenance. Too few churches plan for maintenance. They don't have reserves. It should be a part of your budget.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you don't spend it that year, it goes into a reserve account. We know that this air condition is going to crash in 10 years from now, and so we need to have reserves. Homeowners associations do that, especially those that do it well. They have reserve accounts for every type part of the facility that they think is going to expire or need significant work. Churches need to do the same. Now, what I really want to, we talk about Cool Solutions. I really urge you to go to Cool Solutions and ask them about their virtual facility assessment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think if you are 30,000 square feet or smaller, it's like $750.
Yeah, it was $750. And then 30,000 to 100,000 was $1,500.
That is so inexpensive, and they're able to do it virtually. Now, they'll come on site, which is the ideal, but if you want something that's economical and really good, that's a good way to do that.
And they can help you plan for that. And you know, a lot of times we get caught up in the building side of things, and people forget about the maintenance side.
Yeah, you don't see it.
So. Until it's too late.
Yeah, until it's too late. But I got to say, Jonathan, on all the trips we've made, we've seen a lot of deferred maintenance that was just obvious to us.
That too.
Yes, yes.
Big time.
Yeah.
Thinking about the pews around.
Oh, gosh. The stuffing.
Splitting the pews.
And the Cushing stuffing coming out of the. And this was in a relatively
nice area.
Nearly nice area. I said, Jonathan, I don't want to sit on that pew. The stuffing's coming out. I don't know.
We're not going to tear it anymore.
But church members probably seen it for years, and it's just no big deal. Mm-hmm. They just see it again and again and again. Not planning on maintenance. And then the one that I got myself a little bit ahead of. Yep.
Gyms will be our youth group.
Yeah. If you build a gym, if you build a fellowship, well, not a fellowship hall, if you build a recreation center.
Family life center.
Oh, boy, weren't they big
for
a season.
Yeah, we've talked about this with the arms race. Especially our denomination, Southern Baptist Churches.
Yes.
Because we had like a rec department and everything at Lifeway, and Lifeway was a bit at fault at this. We were the cause.
At times we have been.
Yeah.
And so you build this gym and you wait and you say, we're going to have a great youth group because we have a gym. Like there aren't other places in the community that have gyms. Like
better gyms a lot of times too.
Yes, yes. And what ends up happening in many of these is you start letting the community in and some of the members say, they're messing up our gym. Let's start having rules to keep people out of the gym. Mm-hmm. Let's make it for just us folks. And as a result, the original purpose of that we're going to reach our community becomes null and void because you no longer allow them to, or you have such strict requirements they don't want to.
You become a bubble in the community.
That's right. Your gym becomes for you. Happened at a church where I served. It really was for me, myself, and I.
You had a gym at one of your churches?
I did.
In Florida?
Birmingham.
Birmingham. Oh, okay. I didn't know. I've never been to Green Valley.
Yeah.
So maybe next time I'm in Birmingham, I'll drop by. So have you ever had any issues with these? I mean, we got a couple more too, but did you ever go through a building program at your churches that you pastored?
Yeah, at Green Valley.
Okay.
And ours was off.
I didn't know because you weren't there that long. So sorry. Trying to bring that up delicately there, but there's no way to.
See the post and the podcast and the tweets on longevity. Don't see Rainer about longevity of his inner church. Yeah. I saw someone did a blog post about different entity heads, and the one thing they said about Rainer is he never served in a church of 1,000 or more.
Yes.
I'm not sure that's the case.
Okay.
Because we counted Sunday school and we didn't count worship, so it may have been right there, right, but it's no
close.
Big deal.
Yeah.
It's no big deal whether I was or was not.
Well, I think the intent of that was you weren't a mega church pastor.
I was not a mega church pastor,
so.
And I was not a long-term pastor.
No.
So both of those at fault. Do as I say, folks, not as I do.
All right. Number six, too small of a gathering place. I guess it goes back to the two big worship centers where we're seeing those gathering places expand.
Yes.
And the more opportunities for people to fellowship.
Fellowship, yeah. A community gathering area. This was definitely the case at Azalea Baptist Church in St. Peter.
Too small of a lobby?
Too small of a Northex.
Northex.
Sorry. We had a Northex.
That's because you had all them Yankees down from up north.
Oh, we had hardly any Southerners in our church. I was an aberration in my church as far as coming from the South.
You were the most Southern person and you came from
No, Nellie Joe was just, Nellie Joe was the most Southern person in there. My boys really were, they were shaped in Florida as far as their culture. So they're more Midwesterners because that's primarily what they were at our church.
Okay. Gotcha.
We had a worship center. The attendance, I always remember this number for some reason. The attendance on my arrival was 118 and the worship center was 556.
Holy moly.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was shotgun.
Just straight back.
It had some width to it, so it was not narrow shotgun.
That's big, though.
Yeah, yeah.
And you only had 118 people.
118.
And when you left it,
No. We had 118 on campus.
Oh.
Probably 80? 75, 80 in the worship center. Then we started, we hit in the 350 range.
Okay.
And so it started.
We should have built a new thing of about 800.
Yeah. But what we didn't have was a foyer of any size. We built seating space to the sacrifice of gathering space.
Gotcha.
And if I'd been smart at the time, again, you have to be there long enough to do these things, I would have made the worship center a bit smaller and would have made the gathering place a bit bigger.
Mm-hmm.
We would have had a Narthex building program.
Okay. A reconditioning of that. Well, and I'm wondering about if maybe that's just a product of being in the South where you don't need a mudroom type, coming in.
You need a mudroom if you're on the beach.
Well, but not necessarily. I mean, people typically are not coming straight from the beach into the worship center. Typically.
Okay, I get what you're saying.
But if you're in the North, you've got to, it was when we went to Travis Smalley's church, Lakota Hills.
Yeah, Cincinnati.
I noticed that there were like coat racks everywhere.
Which we hadn't seen in a long time.
It was foreign to me because I've never lived north. I mean, this is as far north as I've gone is Nashville.
Really?
So I've never lived, Southerner. I've never lived further north. So I'm a Southerner.
I at least made it to Indiana.
And I'd never seen coat racks like this in churches because
it's cold.
It's cold in the north and you need those gathering spaces, larger gathering spaces. So I'm wondering if that was just a product of being in the South.
So if you move from the north to the South, do you become a North X?
An ex-North.
Ex-North.
Ex-North in the Narthex.
So, yeah, that's the reality, the two small gathering places. And then this seventh one is common.
We're seeing this all over, especially with church plants, inadequate parking.
Yeah. Okay, here's what you should be doing. You should be counting the number of cars once everybody arrives about once a month for an entire year. Okay?
Okay.
So that's 12 different counts. You should compare that to the total number of people that you would say is your worship attendance, mm-hmm. which would include preschool and children. And that will tell you how many people per car.
Yeah.
And if it's a national average, it's going to be 2 to 2.1. But if it's a church at Spring Hill, it's probably going to be more like 3, 3.5 because so many, we mm-hmm. have so many young families. And that will tell you how many parking places you need and then add another 20%.
Okay.
And that's your minimum. That is just your absolute minimum.
Maybe you're running 600 now.
Yeah.
And you think, all right, if we were to grow to 1,000, we would need X number of spots. Roughly 500, you know, the 2.1.
You'd probably need 600 because you need 20% above.
20% more.
Just to have room.
Yeah.
So those are we see this again and again. We're coaching a client right now at Church Answers that, is in a more urban area. I said, how many parking places do you have? He said, about 15, I think.
That's not going to cut it.
So there are organizations, companies that are allowing them to use some of the mm-hmm. parking space, but it's still a big issue.
Yes.
In an urban area.
Yes.
Used to be county seat church downtown.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to worry too much about that. You'd have a small parking area and everybody would park on the street in downtown. Not the case in many of these churches anymore. Not that option anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But in many of the county seats, the worship attendance has declined so much that that's not an issue either. So it's both and, but inadequate parking is a huge issue. When you begin to think about moving in these directions, make sure you have funding. Make
yes.
sure that you don't go into just a bunch of debt. Go to TomRainer.com and check our friends at Generis about mm-hmm. how you can fund some of these things, because it's so important that you do the funding as well as the building. So do go there.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us today. Thanks again to Vander Blumen Search Group. They are the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped thousands of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. Find out more about Vander Blumen Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
Just a little bit of a heads up. We went through this rather quickly. And as we went through this rather quickly, I want you to be reminded we talked about some of our ministry partners, Costco for design build, Cool Solutions for maintenance and of facilities, Generis for fundraising. These are some good resources for you. There are others out there, but they're some of our ministry partners. So just want you to know that they are available.
Be sure to check out the brand new study from J.D. Greer, Gospel Above All. This 8-session Bible study will give you a fresh perspective on the supremacy of the gospel over the trappings and temptations of modern society. You can lead your group to a greater awareness and practice of gospel culture, gospel mission, gospel renewal, and gospel unity. That's Gospel Above All from J.D. Greer. Thanks again for joining us here on Rainer on Leadership, a proud member of the Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or in your favorite podcasting app, and join us online at TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.